You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
Many of the topics that have been most prominent this election are closely linked to issues around family violence. To understand what a good family violence policy would cover, I spoke to Dr. Ange Jury, the Chief Executive of Women's Refuge. I began by asking her whether family violence has received enough airtime as a topic in the lead up to the election.
No, there's been next door to no attention that I've heard in relation to family violence from any of the parties. One of the things that's really clear to us is that many of the issues that have been discussed as being key election issues, things like homelessness and mental health issues, poverty, they all have a strong connection to what we see the women that we work with experiencing. Research in Australia in recent times into homelessness identified domestic and family violence as one of the key drivers of homelessness. Our own research that we did recently around financial abuse indicates that domestic and family violence contributes to issues that women have in the workplace and in terms of maintaining a decent standard of living once they're safe. You know, these things are closely linked.
How do you see the current government? What sort of job have they done in the last 9 years to address these issues?
It's hard to sort of track going back quite that far, but certainly over the last 2.5-3 years, there's been quite a concerted focus on domestic and family violence by this government. Now, that's not to say that we agree with everything they've done, but they have been putting focused attention on it. What we would like to see is this, that it's taken off the table as any sort of a political issue anyway. You know, it would be nice to see a cross-party accord around moving this forward. It's not just brought up at an election time or as a concerted effort by a particular party, but that all of them buy into a bit of a plan, a strategy.
Yeah, and I saw that you had released a guide to the different political parties' stances on family violence. And First, I just wanted to ask you about some of the key areas that you asked the politicians about. So could you just maybe outline some of those key areas?
Well, we didn't actually ask them. What we did was to request a domestic and family violence policy from them. They didn't know, like we didn't ask specific questions, and they didn't know what our priorities were because we didn't want anyone to be making a whole lot of promises based on what they thought we wanted to hear. So we asked for a statement, and then we looked at those statements against what we think are some of the key priorities. Things like progressing the legislation. Everyone, of course, agreed with that. Adequate funding of services. Now, whatever that adequate might mean, by and large, pretty much everyone was on board with that. The devil would be in the detail, of course, about what that meant. Working in consultation and collaboration with the sector. Now, some of them mentioned that explicitly, others didn't. And maybe that was because they just take that for granted or hard to know.
How did you feel about the different parties' responses? Did you feel most of them took it seriously? Were there some that you thought were stronger than others?
I think they all took it seriously. And I'm sure that if we'd actually sat down and interviewed each of them, we might have come up with a slightly different result because, you know, you can't actually address everything in a policy statement. The desire to work collaboratively came through most strongly in a couple of the results. People, I think, should have a look at that on our Facebook page because it wouldn't be sensible of me to be talking about any one particular party. We are an apolitical organisation in terms of party politics.
And so if people wanted to go and have a look at that resource that you've created, could you explain some of the key things that they should be looking out for? Using your expertise, what makes a good policy?
Well, I think one of the things that they should do, first and foremost, is actually read those policies in their entirety. They're not long. I mean, there's a link to those on our Facebook page rather than just looking at the shorthand of the table that we've put up there. But those things that I just mentioned, things like committing to progressing legislation, things like adequately resourcing the sector, things like creating a long-term strategy that everybody, all parties, buy into. Those are the things that are our key things that we think could possibly make a difference.
When you say progressing the legislation, is that in reference to the legislation that's in Parliament at the moment?
Yeah. The piece that's just reported back from Select Committee.
Could you explain a little bit about that for people who might not know what's happening with that legislation?
Okay, that legislation is the first significant rewrite of our domestic violence legislation since 1995, and it's designed to bring our legislation up to date and into line with best practice and international and national knowledge. It's an attempt to fill in some of the little gaps that have been identified across time. It beds in a better definition of domestic and family violence. It beds victims' rights in more securely. It's worth having a look at the executive summary, at least, for people that are interested.
They are nicking our shit. They totally are.
The Wire.
I then spoke to Jackie Clark, who runs the support and advocacy organisation The Aunties. They work with refuges to provide items that are needed and support women leaving violent relationships. I asked Jackie about how policy could help the families that she supports day to day, and what would happen if she wasn't there to fill the gap. I began by asking her about the work she does each day.
I coordinate donations for 4 refuges in South Auckland and the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective. I also get referred women through SAVIAS, which is the Family Violence Intervention and Response Strategy Coordinator. I look after women in the community. You know, when they leave the refuge, they can contact me for their clothing or bedding or towels, or if they need help with getting a license, any number of things. I also advocate for the work and talk about giving. So tomorrow, for example, I will be talking to some elderly people at an old folks home, and I go to schools and talk to the students there mostly about poverty and how they can give to people that might be in a position that these kids are lucky enough not to be in. And I also do a lot of advocacy online around domestic violence. And I also refer people on to other agencies and organisations. So I'm a bit of a one-stop information shop, yeah.
So is it something that you started up yourself?
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, you're obviously filling quite a big gap in terms of support for the people that you work with. So do you think it should be up to people like you to provide the support, or do you think that there's policy that could be in place to help stop people falling through the gaps?
To be honest, I think that with the work with the refuges have never done, you know, for example, when the women arrive. So we work with a number of refuges, but there's one refuge in particular, the original one that I started working with. And when the women arrive there, when they've just come in, all their bedding, their towels, clothes, we provide them with a toilet bag when they first arrive, pyjamas, undies, all of that stuff. Refuges have never been able to provide that stuff. And most refuges are still pretty much in that position right now. So yes, there does need to be aunties for every refuge. However, when the women are at the refuge, for example, because of the way that refuges are funded, there isn't sufficient funding. There never has been to do that stuff, but there's not even sufficient funding to mean that women are staying there free, for example. So most refuges, women pay board. Yeah, most of them pay to be there. And I don't think that that's reasonable, really. And then when they leave, I think in the last 9 years, it's certainly got a lot harder for women in particular who've left relationships, and particularly violent relationships. It's harder with wins. It's harder getting housing, suitable housing for them and their kids. It's just much harder to survive. There are very few jobs around. If a woman has left a violent relationship, she may previously be working and had to give up the job to go to the refuge. And there are very few employers that would keep those jobs open. Definitively, if there wasn't an aunties, the woman would be okay in that respect, but it's government policy largely. Yeah, the hole we're filling is one that has never really been filled.
With the gaps that you see, do you think that there has been enough talk by parties and media about these issues that these women face? There's obviously been a lot of talk about poverty, but these are some quite specific barriers that these families have.
There's an excellent campaign, We Are Beneficiaries, that was sort of started by Sam Orchard, and I don't know if you've seen that, but it's basically beneficiaries telling their stories and artists illustrating short statements that they've made, and it's an online thing. So that's been talked about in that context, but in terms of the election, the conversation that Matidia today wanted to start, I think that had been started, but I think that people don't really think about women who've left violent relationships, for instance. They just think single mums are single mums and make their judgments based on that. When the reality is, there's a reason people leave relationships. I mean, there's always a really good reason that people leave. Not just, I think I'll go to the DPP, you know. Mostly single mums that have been really judged particularly harshly. And those are the women I work with, you know. And I know what they have to go through. I've formed really deep relationships with some of the women. Those are the women that they're talking about, except they're not understanding. We've got endemic domestic violence in New Zealand, and it's just made incredibly hard to leave. And it's just got harder and harder because of the economic fragility of a lot of people and the increasing economic fragility over the last 9 years with really, really punitive national policies. Yeah.
So looking towards the election, if people are wanting to vote to help support some of the people, yeah, that you support every day, what kind of policies and parties do you think they should be looking to?
I would never, ever tell anyone to vote for a particular party, but I would say to young people, look particularly at the Green Party policies. The Labour Party have some really good policies. Nobody's addressing domestic violence in particular, but the Green Party certainly have, and the Māori Party. And actually, the Mana movement have some extraordinarily good policy around people living on benefits and around looking after, because it's all about looking after the mums, right? You know, and we talk about child poverty. But one of the things that is incredibly obvious if you work in these fields is that if you don't look after the mum, healthy kids come from healthy families. And if somebody's living in poverty or if somebody is doing it really hard, that makes it extra difficult to do what they need to do with their kids, you know. In my opinion, the Māori Party have some really good policies around that and Mana movement. Greens have got good policy around poverty. Nobody's really addressed domestic violence particularly, that I can see. There's a lot of young people in this country who are really motivated to help other people. And one of the best ways you can do that is, if you're interested in the field of work that I'm in, is to ring up your local refuge and ask what they need. It's really simple. And people are really scared of refuges. They shouldn't be scared. You know, they think they're going to encroach on the woman or something, but that's not right. And so, young men, if you want to help us, just be good people. Just have a really good think about how you walk as a cis man through the world and about your entitlements and about the stuff that you take for granted. And be a gentle and kind person. Be a good human being. And I think that's the way that most young men can help, really.
The Wire.
If you want to support the work Jackie Clark does with the aunties, you can find her as Firepower on Twitter or visit aunties.co.nz for a detailed list of ways you can provide donations and support.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.